Go with me back to Daniel chapter 3. Sunday night, we looked at the end of this chapter, which was this actual moment that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. And we just read the astonishment of Nebuchadnezzar because his judgment was on three men. But four men were in there. The absolute astonishment because four men were in there. And when Nebuchadnezzar looked into the heart of that judgment, he literally said, "I see Jesus Christ." That's always been one of the most amazing things to me. The form of the fourth is he looks just like the Son of God. I've always thought, how did he know that? But I know how he knew that. It's the same way that you will know that when you see him. You will not ask him, "Are you Jesus Christ?" You ever thought about that? The moment you see him, you will know him. His people. While he walked this earth, no one knew him, did they? Think about how many people had dealings with him and touched him and, you know, come over here. And they had no idea who he was. But God's people, the moment they see him, they know him. Nebuchadnezzar said, "I see Jesus Christ." In that moment, God revealed Jesus Christ crucified to him. In that moment, God revealed the gospel. Nebuchadnezzar witnessed through that event the gospel, the glory of the gospel. And that glory is the fact that Jesus Christ bore the judgment, not only with his people. He was in there with his people. But it was not only with his people. He bore it for his people and from his people. He consumed all of that judgment into himself. There was no hurt to them. Because all the hurt went into him. All of that hurt. It had to go somewhere. And all of that hurt went into him. There was no evidence of that judgment on them. And it's because he took all of that to himself too. He is the only one who bears the scars of God's judgment on his people for their sin. He's the only one. And in that we see the glory of the gospel. That is the glory of the gospel. And one of these days, I would love to, just one time, really appreciate that. I say it all the time. I say it all the time. And one of these days, we're all going to truly appreciate what that means. But that is the glory of the gospel. In Nebuchadnezzar, seeing the judgment on Jesus Christ and seeing that he willingly went into that judgment, he was not thrown into that fire. He was not bound and thrown into that fire. He willingly went into that fire. He fully, completely delivered his people out of that judgment, out of that fire. And in Nebuchadnezzar seeing that judgment to be on Jesus Christ, he had the gospel revealed to him. That's what happened. He had the gospel revealed to him. And what I want us to see tonight, the reason we're here, I finished these verses, but I wanted to come back because of something that he said in verse 28. And let's read it. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word." That really struck me. When the gospel is revealed, and this is what I want us to see tonight. When the gospel is revealed, repentance comes. It's not just added to the way that somebody's already going. And some of you will understand what I mean by that. A lot of people in false religion, they hear some things of truth and they're like, well, that sounds good. We'll just add that to everything that I've already been doing. When the gospel comes, total repentance takes place. Total repentance. I've titled this message, Beautiful Repentance, because that's what it is. Beautiful repentance, gracious repentance. It's that way every single time. Now, we mentioned this on Sunday, but I just want to dwell on it for a minute tonight. The glory of repentance. And we're going to see that glory in Nebuchadnezzar, in his repentance. I have 3 points for this message. Number one, the pride of man. Number two, the goodness of God. And number three, the complete, total, changed mind of repentance. And that's how it goes. It starts with the pride of man. And then the goodness of God comes. And it brings a complete, total, changed mind of repentance. In one moment, we see all of those things right here. So Nebuchadnezzar built an image. It was his image, meaning it belonged to him. It was built for his vain glory. And he told everybody to bow down to it. And what he meant in saying that was, bow down to me. Bow down to me. And that is the natural, arrogant pride of man. Nebuchadnezzar was told, there are three men who will not bow to you. Look at verse 13 again. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? That is the natural pride of all of mankind in this world. You bow to me. I'm number one. I'm going to be number one. Who do you think you are that you would try to assert yourself over me? That is the natural heart of man against God. The scripture says that the heart of man is enmity against God. And it naturally says, I will not have him reign over me. I will not have God, the God man, reign over me. And people hear that and they say, that's not true. I will have Jesus Christ reign over me. That's the natural response. You tell people that that's man's nature. I will not have him reign over me. The first response is, that's not true. I love Jesus. I will have him reign over me. And people will say that until they hear who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. And they will do that until they hear who he loves and who he hates. And what he will accept and what he won't accept. And the fact that he is the sovereign, almighty God who does whatever he wants with whoever he wants. Nobody can stop him. Nobody can influence him. Nobody has any influence over him. He kills. I had a store, you know, for a while. And I think it was Hurricane Katrina. Somebody came through raising money for Hurricane Katrina. And I happily contributed to that. And then walking out, she said, "Thank you. You know, God didn't want this to happen." And I said, "Ma'am, God caused this." And buddy, she was not happy about that. God kills. God makes alive. God is the very one who wounds. He's the very one who heals. Every king and ruler on this earth, all of their hearts are in His hands. Who makes wars and rumors of wars? He does. Everything is in His hand. He is turning everybody exactly how He wants them to be turned. We're at His mercy. We are all at His mercy. The mercy of this sovereign God, this high and holy judge of the earth. Once people hear that, they say, "Nope, I don't like that God. I do not want that God. I will not have that God reign over me. The only God that I want is the one that I can control. The God that's in my hands. The God that I do with as I please. The God who is at my mercy." That's the natural heart of mankind. It says, "I will have no one reign over me. I will reign over everyone." That's what Nebuchadnezzar said when he told everybody, "Bow to me, bow to my authority, bow to my glory that I've raised up." That's the arrogance and the pride of man. I'm not going to bow to you. You're going to bow to me. Man has to be humbled from that. Man has to be humbled, and Nebuchadnezzar found out God is able to do it. Mankind, all of mankind in his pride and his arrogance, he has to be humbled, stopped in his tracks. I'm going to read something to you here. This was in Brother Henry Mahan's bulletin in 1998. It's titled "The Last Word." As soon as I read this, I thought, that's good. "One night at sea, a ship's captain saw what appeared to be the lights of another ship out in front of him. So he had his signalman blink to the other ship, 'Change your course.' The reply came back, 'Change your course.' The ship's captain signaled back, 'I am a captain. Change your course.' To which the reply was, 'I am a seaman first class.'" Which, if you don't know, that's a much lower rank than captain. Down there at the bottom. "I'm a seaman first class. Change your course." This infuriated the ship's captain. So he signaled, "You fool, change your course. This is a battleship." The seaman replied, "And I said, 'Change your course. This is a lighthouse.'" Human will, honestly. Man's going against God. Man's going against the rock. The unmovable rock. And man says, "I don't like what you're doing. Change it." The article goes on to say, "Human will, rank, and pride have no alternative except to change your course. When confronted with the unyielding, unchanging Word of God, even if that message comes through a lowly servant." And that's just so, isn't it? Nebuchadnezzar reared up his pride, saying, "You bow to me." But the message came back to him, "It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The word of our God shall stand." Aren't you so glad God tells His people this? Our God is a rock that cannot be moved. And the only bowing down that's going to take place is us bowing down to the sovereign. That's it. Us bowing down to the sovereign. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, what Nebuchadnezzar is about to see is going to bring repentance to him. And repentance is, if I haven't made it clear yet, repentance is a changed mind. That's what it is, a changed mind. And we all need it. We all need a changed mind. And before we read this, follow me to a few scriptures here. I want us to see a couple of truths concerning repentance. All right, turn over to Matthew 9. Matthew 9, verse 13, it says, But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Number one, repentance is for sinners. Nebuchadnezzar was a sinner. I'm a sinner. You are a sinner. But thank God, repentance is for sinners. Look over at Luke chapter 3 with me. Luke 3, verse 3, it says, speaking of John the Baptist, he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Repentance is immersion into this changed mind on what saves us. That's what repentance is. It's a changed mind on what saves us. It's for sinners. It's for sinners, sinful people. And it is an effectual revelation on what actually saves us. That's what repentance is. Turn over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, it says, Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. That's repentance. We ought to obey God rather than men. The reason I had you turn here was for verses 30 and 31. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. With repentance, forgiveness comes. He gives it to his people. Repentance is for God's people. That's who it's for, God's people. And with repentance comes forgiveness. They go hand in hand. One is the evidence of the other one. Look with me at Acts chapter 11. Verse 18, it says, When they had heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Repentance is unto life. It's unto forgiveness. It's unto life. If God ever grants, if He ever gives repentance to a sinner, it will be to that sinner's eternal life. God ever brings that completely changed mind. Look at Acts 19 with me. Verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. With repentance comes faith. Faith in Christ, they go hand in hand. Repentance is a turning from self to Christ. That's what it is. Look at Acts 20, verse 21. Got two more here. Acts 20, verse 21. It says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a turn. It's a turning from the natural sinful ways of man to the holy, just, sovereign, right ways of God. All right, last one. Go to Romans 2. Romans 2, verse 3, it says, And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? If any soul is going to receive repentance, that soul is going to have to be led there by God. And if a soul is led there by God, that is God's goodness to that soul. If Nebuchadnezzar received repentance, he received the goodness and kindness of God. That revelation of repentance, that changed mind, that is God's grace. That's what it is. God's mercy, God's grace, His goodness, His patience, it's the evidence of His love. Why would God give something like that to Nebuchadnezzar? Why would God give him a totally changed mind? He changed that man. Why? God loved him. And it's the same for us. If God gives it to us, He loves us. Go with me back to Daniel 3. Verse 19. I'll be quick. Verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont or known to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see. I see. I was blind, but now I see. I see something." You know, I've told you many times that story of that man, Brother Burke. He didn't want to attend services. He didn't want anything. And he ended up going and had to go by himself because his wife was sick. And the Lord opened his eyes and his ears and his heart and came home and put up his horse. Coming up to the house, his wife was standing on the porch there with her hands on her hips. And she said, "God saved you, didn't he?" And he said, "Yeah, I believe he did." "How did you know?" She said, "I heard you singing all the way up the drive, 'Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, now I see.'" That's repentance. When repentance is seen in a sinner, it is a beautiful thing. I was lost, but now I see. I see something. Verse 25, he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." I see something I have never seen before. That's what he's saying. I see something I've never seen before. What is it, Nebuchadnezzar? It's not a what, it's a who. I see a person I have never seen before. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, the only mediator between God and man. Verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God." Is that not the evidence? I know we said all this Sunday night. I just had to say it again. Is that not the evidence of a changed mind, changed heart, changed man? "You servants of the Most High God." Just in what he saw there, it brought a total change of mind. It went from "Who is that God?" to "I know who that God is." It went from "He is going to bow to me" to "I'm going to bow to Him." A total change of mind. Not only toward God, but also toward the people of God. When God grants repentance toward God in a sinner, He grants repentance in that sinner toward all the people of God. Total change of mind. Verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Come, you come. He hated them 7 verses before this. Now he's saying, you come out. Come out of that fire. You come to me, brethren. Verse 26 goes on to say, "Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, 'Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him.'" Psalm 34, verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." Nebuchadnezzar said, "The Lord himself has encamped around his people and delivered them and granted me repentance in the process." Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar said, "He has changed the king's word." You know the only one who can change the king's word and physically speaking, all of us thinking that's what we are, kings. The king. The king. Who controls the heart of the king? You know, repentance is a willing thing. It's a commanded thing. But it's a desired thing. Who controls the heart of this sinner right here? He does. What does this sinner want to do when he controls his heart? Exactly what he wanted me to do. Amen. Amen. He has changed the king's word. Nebuchadnezzar said he's changed the king's everything. And in chapter 4, he's going to tell us all that. He'll explain all that. Verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." That's what I say. That's what repentance has caused me to say. There is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Who is that God that can deliver?" He's now saying he's the only one that can deliver. That is true repentance. It's Christ and only Christ. There is no other God who can deliver after this sort, to the uttermost, to the fullest degree. Verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. That is beautiful repentance. Amazing repentance. Oh, that God in His goodness would grant that to you and me, honestly, sincerely. Grant it to us. Grant it to our children. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. We are the clay. Mold us and make us after thy will while we are waiting, yielded, and still. Let's all sing that together.